this week is the third anniversary of Act 10 becoming law. The budget repair bill limited collective bargaining for public employees and touched off huge protests and ongoing court cases.
This week, we've been looking at the impact of Act 10 in Wisconsin with lawmakers, reporters, a local school official, and today, we look at how the law has affected unions. You can join the show, too, if you'd like, if you're a public employee or an administrator. How has Act 10 affected you? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us, talk@WPR.org.
Frank Emsbach joins us now. He's managing editor and executive producer of Workers Independent News and emeritus professor of labor education at the School for Workers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Frank, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, we did have a nice day here in spite of the forecast, I guess, up there in Superior. That's good.
Sounds like a lot of snow, though. Well, I want to dig right in. We don't have you for too long. How has Act 10 changed the strength of unions in Wisconsin as you see it?
Well, it did what Governor Walker said it was going to do, which was to reduce their strength in some cases by considerable amounts, like 80%. So from a political point of view, which is what was discussed in the newspapers over the last week, the ability of unions to bring forth political activity is lessened. They have fewer members and hence not as much money coming in, even though you should know, and I think it's important, that dues money cannot be used specifically for politics. But still, if you're in a union, you generally tend to join the political organization they have. But yes, it's weakened unions considerably. And I think that was a clear and very, the governor expressed it quite clearly. And that's what he said he wanted to do, and that's what he did.
Now, you mentioned union membership is down. Let's look at that number. What is the status of union membership since the passage of Act 10?
Well, I think it depends on which union. The public school teachers, K through 12, in the Wisconsin Education Association Council, well over 60% recertified as they took votes and said, we want our union. And most of the people that did not were not K through 12 teachers. In the units represented state workers, in those cases, membership has dropped considerably, 60%, 70% or more, depending on the union. And so there's a difference there. And in some places, of course, the contracts still remain. And so, for instance, in Dane County, there's still a very, very high percentage of membership in AFSCME Local 60, Madison Teachers Incorporated. And so there, the contracts have been extended, I believe, through the end of this year and some into 2015. And other things are going to happen on July 1st when the law takes effect dealing with the hospital workers, which basically said they can't have any union whatsoever at any time. And so as the contracts those workers have expire, once it expires around, I think, July 1st and the other at the end of the year, they lose their bargaining rights completely.
What kind of changes would you say that we've seen, given the picture you painted about a decreasing membership and diminished strength? How has that changed what happens in the workplace for these public employees?
Well, I think the workplace is the most important place to look. And what I see is this, and I say I see because we interview lots of people who are working about what it's like at work right now. First of all, you move from a situation of rights with a procedure, should there be discipline or some problem, to discussion with no end. They don't have to do anything. And so what you see is in many workplaces you have a decent management, fair people and whatnot, but others you don't. And so there is no redress. And so that's the first thing you see. The second thing you see is in areas where there's been a lot of contracting out and privatization, where the people coming in are getting paid more than the state workers that are there. There's all kinds of friction and unrest. But one of the other things is that state workers in those positions are more reluctant to report on abuse. Why is that? Because if the boss who has just arranged for a contractor is now confronted by an employee who says, hey, this is really wrong, that employee has no recourse. And you have a situation sort of built in where you can see an increase in abuse and improper payments and this, that, and the other thing. And so I think that the absence of fairness And I don't mean, you know, crazy stuff, but the absence of a legal procedure in the workplace means that it is possible. I would say maybe it leans in that direction, but we don't know yet, to have, I guess, unfairness and abuse. And that's the danger here, that there's not a countervailing administration or a countervailing set of laws that allow to you to have adjudication as opposed to arguments, but, you know, that you actually have something that's enforceable. And that's the major difference in the workplace. Then, of course, there have been issues of wages and who is going to get the job and all that kind of stuff, and much more difficult to enforce health and safety standards.
Now, Governor Walker had said he wanted to use Act 10 to give local authorities the power to use different tools to help with their budgets. And if you look at some of the, you know, West Bend, for instance, that school district has said it's doing better. We had this, the superintendent on yesterday. Right. What about that trade-off? Is it worth it to have a little better budget outlook?
I listened to that interview, actually, before this one, and I didn't hear a new tool. What I heard is, teachers were very nervous. Teachers were very afraid. Oh, yes, a lot of our most senior teachers left. And what does that mean? That means that the tool was fear and people leaving their job and being replaced with lower seniority, lower paid teachers. Well, I don't think that's a particularly innovative management tool, number one. Number two, the other part he talked about was health. Well, I can't imagine that if the school district had gone to the union and said, hey, we have a less expensive health care that's more comprehensive, would you like it, that they would say no. So, again, I didn't hear any new management tools. I heard a replacement of higher-paid workers by lower-paid workers. And, again, you didn't need Act 10 to do that. And the question is that the right thing to do, given all the problems we have in education, to replace experienced teachers with inexperienced people? I don't see it. That's the first thing. Secondly, I think Act 10 did not, in and of itself, provide any new management tools, except you have unlimited and unchecked authority. And initially, that always works sometimes. You know, you could say, do this, and people have to do it. That doesn't mean that it's either new or innovative or the right thing to do, again, because you have no legally protected countervailing discussion.
I want to ask you, union leaders have said they're planning on playing an active role in this year's Wisconsin elections. How much clout do you think they have right now?
I have no idea. People put a tremendous amount of effort into the recall elections and to the both all types, the individual senators and representatives and the gubernatorial recall, and it came up short. I think that certainly people have the right and will be involved. The question really is, what are people running on, and what is the strength of the candidates? Unions or any organization, the environmentalists can put lots of money into the electoral arena, but if the candidates are not particularly strong or motivating, then it's not going to make much difference. So certainly, I'm sure they're going to spend what they can legally and encourage their members to vote. Clearly, people recognize in the public sector workforce what can happen if you don't vote.
Frank, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to Frank Emsbach with Workers Independent News. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell. We continue our series of interviews on the impact of Act 10 3 years after it was signed into law. You can join in with your thoughts and stories if you're a public employee or a manager of public employees. How has Act 10 changed your workplace? Or perhaps you're a supporter of Act 10. As you look back over 3 years, is Act 10 doing what you hoped it would do? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us, talk@WPR.org.
Jack Bernfeld joins us now. He's a WEAC representative who's worked with a number of public employee local unions for more than 30 years, recently with the Racine Teachers Union. He's now Uniserve Director for WEAC's Capital South region. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Jack, you were with the Racine Teachers Union after Act 10 when a new handbook replaced the old contracts. Can you tell us what that process was like?
Well, that process was very collaborative. We had developed over the course of a decade a very strong working relationship with the school district, both the administrators and school board, as well as members of the community. And with the advent of Act 10, all decided that it's best to maintain the good cooperative relationship that we had developed despite the fact that the law gutted most of collective bargaining. And we engaged in a year-long process of reviewing each of the provisions of the collective bargaining agreements that had been in effect for decades and were the product of compromise and give and take over those years, and in that context developed a very good handbook.
So you're describing a collaborative process that was intended to be civil. Do you think that that experience was duplicated in other areas of the state, or is Racine unique?
Well, it occurred in some areas that I'm familiar with, but not in all. And where the parties chose to work collaboratively and where employers chose to respect and value the input of the teachers, their staff, and their unions, a good work came out of that, and a good work product that provided stability and predictability for employees and provided a good workplace so that these employers could attract new teachers. Where they didn't, of course, where fear was created, where districts used the effects of Act 10 to strip employees of their rights to create larger classes and longer work hours and to impose more testing regimens. The result is there was a lot of turnover. A lot of veteran teachers left, a lot of veteran staff left, and these school districts are left, I think, in a tough situation about providing the quality of education that we've come to expect in Wisconsin.
Now, yesterday we talked with school superintendent Ted Leitze, who said Act 10 didn't bring down the doom and gloom that teachers had feared, and that, in fact, it helped improve schools for students and improve the budget outlook. What would you say to that?
Well, as I said, it varies. Where there's been a respectful relationship, where the role of the teachers and their union has been valued, when they've been seen as a partner, along with that of the community and others, then the situation has remained fairly positive. You haven't seen a great flight of veteran teachers and other staff leaving the district. But where they haven't, where they've imposed really rigorous and difficult conditions on employees and stripped employees of their rights to due process or just cause or stripped all vestiges of seniority, where they've extended hours and cut pay and cut insurance rights and benefits that had been long negotiated, then there is a lot of fear. Then employees are unhappy, and in many instances they're walking with their feet. They're leaving the districts and finding other places that will respect them and value their services.
I want to go to the phone lines right now. We've got a call here from Dan in Wausau. Hi, Dan.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I totally agree with your person that's talking. I work for a governmental agency, and I think the bad thing about Act 10 is the fact that the way they went about it, it showed a lack of respect for the people that are out there every day doing the jobs and delivering services, and I think it caused a great divide in the state. And that's what I guess I'm the most upset about. Power is an aphrodisiac, and it seemed like that once this administration got in, it was, we're going to win at all cost. I see the same thing happening now. I've been trying to find out what the debt is in Wisconsin, what we still owe. I'm struggling with the fact that we're willing to give millions of dollars back to people, and I believe there's a $4 billion debt yet, but I've called the governor's office twice, and I can't get an answer.
All right. Well, thank you, Dan, for your thoughts there. Dan describing what he sees as a lack of respect and the creation of divisions. Do you still see those divisions today, Jack?
We do. They're very evident. I mean, the law is still relatively new. We're still navigating through this new world, and how that will shake out it will take some time. Of course, you know, this has been there's been a pendulum. Our parents and grandparents formed unions generations ago before there was any collective bargaining law. And the reasons that they join unions are the same reasons that today's workers will seek to form unions, that is to speak with one voice, to advocate for their profession in public education, and to protect their collective interests. Those core values remain, whether there's a law or not. And the divisions come about where there are forward-thinking employers that value their asset that they have in their employees and the investment they make in their employees versus those that don't, or those are simply looking at the bottom line and don't really care about the quality of the education despite speaking in favor of it, that they would rather run out veteran teachers and bring in new untested teachers into the workforce.
And let's go next to John. John is joining us from Windsor. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, you know, I'm a state employee as well, and I think that the previous caller is absolutely right about the disrespect. You know, we supposedly have merit bonuses. Those are, that's a joke. The merit bonuses go to only certain segments of employees. You know, we have no idea when the next foot's going to drop. You know, what I've seen is like rats jumping off a sinking ship. We have so many people that are leaving state employment that, you know, we wanted to work in service and provide services, but, you know, they no longer feel that they can, and they're replaced by people who don't really know what they're doing. And not that, nothing negative about new employees, but, you know, when you lose that institutional kind of thing, you have kids that are doing contracts that don't have any experience. And it's taking so much more time and so much more money. And for what? You know, it just really is very disappointing.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call and the thoughts, John. And Jack, what would you say to that?
I agree. There is this uncertainty that exists among many employees, certain employers, where they no longer can predict what's going to happen to them. They live in fear of unfair and arbitrary treatment by supervisors, and they do not understand how decisions with respect to pay and other work employment decisions are being made. With a contract, those criteria are essentially spelled out. People know how decisions are going to be made, and there's a process of redress if they disagree with what decisions that are made. Now, in many instances, with handbooks that provide a paltry amount of protections without due process, a lot of employees are working in fear.
Jack, if other districts could follow the template that you described in Racine based on, it sounded like, mutual respect and collaboration, do you think that the benefits, as Governor Walker would see them, to Act 10 would be more palatable to people?
Well, it depends on what Governor Walker's intended benefits were. From his perspective, I suspect Act 10 was designed simply for union busting. It wasn't a budget fix in any sense of the way. And I think that it has failed. Employees are choosing to belong to unions, even if it's in smaller numbers. Our membership is smaller. But there is still great support and strong support for unions. I think the best example is the recent recertification elections that were imposed by Act 10 for school district employees this past December. You know, over 56,000 school district employees were covered by those elections. Nearly 70% of all eligible voters participated. And of those who voted, 98% voted for union certification. I mean, this is decisive support, and that occurred despite the faulty and unfair conditions of the election. So, you know, support for unions remains strong. Employees want a voice, and they're going to have a voice.
How do you expect some of what happened in the past with Act 10 to play out in the coming elections?
I think there's still great frustration about the governor's policies, Act 10 being among them, that I think people are motivated. I know that from our members on the ground that they're more engaged now because of what's happened under Act 10. They're more plugged into elections. They're more plugged into what's happening in their profession, and they're fighting to preserve it and to protect it and to improve it.
Jack, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
That was Jack Bernfeld, UNISERV Director for WEAC Capital South Region. He joined us as part of our coverage of the third anniversary of Act 10.